Yes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
They've raised the bar on Rochester Sports Talk. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Week 3 of the NFL season got underway last night. Thursday Night Football, the Jets dispatching of the New England Patriots. We welcome in Andy Behrens from Yahoo Fantasy to help set your Week 3 fantasy football lineups. And Andy, if we can start with this, this was Mel Kiper yesterday talking about how if the NFL wants to increase scoring, they should ban too high safety looks on defense. And it's no secret, through 2 weeks, wide receiver scoring is down, passing is down. Kiper's putting it on that too high safety look. Where do you come down on this? Because and we you know, guys like you and I and Gino have done this a long time. We've seen how the NFL kind of moves in cycles. Where do you come down on Kiper's take?
Yeah, I mean, I can understand that people really, really enjoyed the NFL as it was, like, 2018 to 2020, right? And offense is just crazy, and all the good quarterbacks are throwing for 5,000 yards. I get it, but, man, like, some of us came up in an era, like, the real rule changes that went in around how, you know, receivers could be treated and coverage and, like, what exactly you could do to a receiver as they went downfield. Like, that stuff goes back to 1978. And prior to that, every game was 10-6. You know, yeah. Like, we just didn't have these shootouts, and people loved the NFL. I don't know. People are going to love the NFL. I guess it's a minor annoyance that passing and scoring has been down over the first couple weeks. But what we like about sports is the one side adjusts to the other side. And then there are adjustments back, and it's a constantly fluid thing. And I don't know. We don't need to change the rules every year to try to get back to a status quo that actually has not been really the status quo for most of the history of the game.
Andy, I won one of my leagues just because I had Alvin Kamara on the team. That was just enjoyable, looking up every time. Oh, he scored again there. The question is about the Saints here, because they beat Carolina, and then, yeah, it was a one-sided kind of affair against Dallas where Carr didn't have to do too much in the passing game. Is this offense for real as they get the Eagles coming up on Sunday?
Yeah, two ways to answer that. One, are they for real in that they're going to score 45 points a game? No, probably not. We're going to get some regression at some point. The league is going to get a good look at them. But you have to really like everything that Clint Kubiak is doing. Two big things that I have really enjoyed so far about the Saints in particular. One, they're not, you know, Rashid Shaheed has really popped in both games so far. And he's a guy with incredible speed. He's a phenomenal playmaker. But they're doing a little more with him to set up some of these big plays. Like, he, you know, they ran a couple of really short crossers to him before they got the splash play last week. I thought that was really effective. So he's not just purely a clear out guy or a go route guy anymore. And then number two, no disrespect to Taysom Hill, but he doesn't yet have a touch inside the red zone. And Alvin Kamara leads the NFL in carries inside the 10-yard line. So it's possible that this offensive coordinator has just said, hey, what if we just gave the ball to our best player when we get near the goal line and we don't do all the, you know, all the quirky look at me, Sean Payton-y stuff with Taysom Hill, right? Like, what if we just gave the ball to our best player? And so far it's working.
I feel like every week that Jordan Love is going to be questionable, we're going to ask a question about what to do with Green Bay's offensive weapons. And honestly, going into Tennessee, I kind of hope Love takes another week to heal, because I'd love to see the Malik Willis revenge game. But much like last week, I'm kind of torn on what to do with Green Bay and their offensive assets. Andy, how are you handling Green Bay heading into a weekend where we don't know if Jordan Love is going to get the start against Tennessee?
You know, for starters, and this is not a real answer to your question, but for starters, I can't think of a game in you know what, now that I'm actually saying it, you remember back when, like, Chan Gailey turned Tyler Thigpen into a thing and it seemed miraculous, and that happened for, like, you know, like a handful of games and it was really fun. But since then, I can't remember a time when I was as impressed by the job that a head coach had done given the limitations of his personnel. The Green Bay game plan last week, which was way beyond, hey, let's run the ball a lot. Like, those run looks were really fun, and every one of them involved misdirection. And then later in the game, they would do something very different off of the same look that they had shown earlier. And they put Malik Willis in situations where, when he did pass the ball, it was highly advantageous. It was first down after we've run the ball down your throat six or seven times. You know, it was just a great game plan. And if Green Bay, this is crazy as a Bears fan for me to say this, but I do hope that people who vote for Coach of the Year, I hope they remember this game if Green Bay is, like, in the playoffs when we get to the end of the year. Because that's got to be the single greatest coaching job that I've seen anyone do in the league in a really long time. To get that game out of Malik Willis and that offense was just incredibly impressive. The short answer to your actual question is, if Malik Willis is a quarterback, you can sit all the Packers receivers, especially in a non-bye week like this where you probably have some good options. We can make a case for Jaden Reed because he's really the guy that they, you know, even if they're not throwing, they'll scheme some touches for him. They'll give him a jet sweep. They'll line him up in the backfield a couple times. They did that last week to great effect against Indianapolis. So he's a little fun and gadgety, but you have to sit the rest of them. If Love comes back this week, I'm probably not plugging him into lineups right away. I want to see it first, but I think we can feel a little bit better about Reed and Watson.
Andy Behrens, Yahoo Fantasy, our guest here on a Friday as we help you optimize your lineups here for the weekend. A matchup I want to ask you about, two 2-0 teams, Houston and Minnesota. Diggs going back to Minnesota, that's certainly an angle. And does that cause for the targets to be skewed here in any such way with Diggs? I'm sure he's going to get booed up there. And then, what do you do with the running back situation in Houston? Are we feeling comfortable if it ends up being Cam Akers at this point?
I will never ever be comfortable with Cam Akers. No, that doesn't mean I'm not starting him. And I think I'm starting him in like four leagues, right? Like, I got, just like everybody, I got hit really hard by injuries last week. Lost Pacheco in a lot of places, so now I'm looking at Cam Akers. Do I trust him? No, I don't think he's super efficient. He put the ball on the ground last week, and that's going to stick in the minds of coaches. So, you know, but he is probably going to carry the mail for that team. They don't have a lot left now that it doesn't seem like Damian Pierce is going to be able to go either. So without Mixon and Pierce, it is probably going to be the Cam Akers show, for better or worse. It's a little bit of a revenge game for him too, right? There's a bunch of people going back to face the Vikings. I don't, the Houston receiving core is, I don't know, in some ways it's not really difficult each week because they're all great. Tank Dell is great. He sees the field a little bit less than the other guys, but he's kind of right back into his old role, which is about 2/3 of the snaps, huge downfield opportunities. So I kind of like them all, and I feel like Nico Collins at this point has really, especially with these first couple games that we've seen, where he's, you know, he's not just a deep guy. He's not doing just like one thing each time. He's so good at every level of the field. He's made highlight catches. Nico Collins, as much as anyone, was the difference in that Bears-Texans game last week. So I'm just impressed with all those receivers. Nobody, in all likelihood, you don't have two or three of them on a roster, so I think you can feel good about any of them.
I'm curious about some of the hotter waiver wire pickups from this week, Andy. And the biggest one on top of the list, you mentioned Isaiah Pacheco. Are managers who went out and invested in Carson Steele going to be disappointed after his performance on Sunday night against Atlanta, or are they gonna wish that they rather pivoted and went in the direction of Samaje Perine? What's your take on that Kansas City backfield now with Pacheco on IR?
Yeah, I'll tell you, the one thing I won't feel bad about is not going heavier after Samaje Perine. Like, I think he's a fine player. I think he's a fine pro. I think he's had a wonderful career. But I don't, like, he's not Jerick McKinnon. I don't think he can have one of those runs. I don't think he's that sort of player. Again, super competent, does everything a running back needs to do at the sort of minimal level that it needs to be done in order to play. But I just, you know, there's a thrill of the unknown factor with Carson Steele. We all saw his preseason. It was tremendous. He was a cartoon. He's basically just like a bumper car of a person. And it's not an advisable rushing style because he just seems to seek out collisions and bounce off of them. And it's wild and it's fun. And he just had an incredible preseason, and his best runs have been some of my favorite runs of the preseason and regular season. And more to the point, they were using him while Pacheco was fully healthy. So they were working in Carson Steele. They like him. He fumbled last week and they went right back to him. So they're kind of in on Carson Steele. I think that's a really good sign. The one kind of flyer out there, and we don't know which way it's going to go, is Kareem Hunt. Cause Kareem Hunt, like, even if Kareem Hunt doesn't play this week, and that would surprise me a little bit if he did. But even if he doesn't, he's somebody who has familiarity with the coaching staff, with the team. He was also really bad last year. Now, was he really bad? Because when I say really bad, I mean almost no yards after contact, like bottom of the league in terms of yards after contact. Didn't make anybody miss. He found the end zone a few times, which was kind of, you know, there's a little touchdown deodorant to his season, but it was not good. And he's an older player who might just be at the end. But he was also playing through an injury last year. I believe he had a hernia. So if that was the issue and he's actually still Kareem Hunt, he could get interesting in future weeks.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Andy Behrens, our guest here in the Sports Bar. Andy, we're so close to the Bills here on our show and in our area that sometimes we can be blind to things. And what happened last Thursday night down in Miami is Bills fans, very satisfying to watch James Cook run for three touchdowns. And that's for any team just to kind of pound the rock the way they did. Now I look at this matchup this coming week, and I'm pulling up the stats from last year against Jacksonville. James Cook, 5 carries, negative 4 yards in London. Two other running backs, Harris and Murray, both gone now. A combined 5 carries. So are we believing that the Bills can run against this Jacksonville team? And if so, does that come at a cost to maybe some of those secondary targets? Because one of the questions we get up here is, hey, what about Dalton Kincaid? What about Dawson Knox? Some of those guys aren't getting the production we were all hoping for here.
Yeah, I don't think Mel Kiper is going to be too happy with the way that Buffalo wants to play moving forward, right? It sure seems like what we saw in the second half of last season, where they became a little bit more run focused team, is definitely carrying into this year, and it's a fantasy problem, right? Because we spent a lot of the preseason kind of wringing our hands about, okay, we think there's a right answer somewhere in Buffalo's receiving room. Who is it? Is it Kincaid? Is it Khalil Shakir? It might just be that Josh Allen continues to be a top 3 fantasy quarterback, but there is no right answer in the receiving room for the Bills, because clearly they go into every game wanting to throw it about 20 times and wanting to run it 30, right? And that's, it's going to be an ongoing fantasy problem. It doesn't give any receiver a real chance to have week-to-week consistency. Obviously, eventually, Buffalo is going to run into some buzzsaw teams in the AFC, and they are going to be forced to throw it 40 times. And I can't wait for those weeks, because that's when we get to see the full expression of Josh Allen's talent. But I don't think we're going to be there this week with Jacksonville, because, man, they were terrible last week. That was, one of my things is I like to go through every Tuesday and Wednesday. I watch every game from start to finish, and, man, they were just a theater of pain last week. Trevor Lawrence played as bad as I've seen him play. He had one big shot to Brian Thomas that kind of made his passing day look a little bit less intolerable. But man, he was he nearly threw a couple of picks. He was rough. So I just don't think Jacksonville can put up much of a number. So I think the run's going to be in play all day, and I kind of think we know what Buffalo wants to do.
Andy, the other Monday night game features Washington and Cincinnati, and positive reports out of Cincinnati. We may see T. Higgins make his season debut. He's been a participant in practice. How are you dealing with Higgins and the Cincinnati offense, knowing that they had a little bit of a wake-up call there against Kansas City? But if Higgins returns, I would imagine a guy like Yoshevich doesn't hold much value on your roster anymore.
Yeah, which is too bad, actually, because Yoshevich made two just absolutely, I think he only got 2 targets last week, both touchdowns, and both phenomenal. One was just a filthy route, and the other one was an incredible toe drag catch. He's pretty good. He's not T. Higgins good. So it's obviously good for Cincinnati. The matchup is great for Cincinnati. I mean, Washington is a very vulnerable defense. So I expect Joe Burrow to get right. I expect Jamar Chase to get right. He seems a little bit salty with the low workloads. I think there's an explosion game coming for him. I think generally Cincinnati's in an okay place right now, and the Kansas City game was very impressive. It's funny, you mentioned things that I might want outlawed. I would like the second Monday night game outlawed. Yes. I don't need 2 Monday night games. I want one that I can just sink my teeth into and watch from start to finish, and just be like a little meatball fan and not have to try to keep track of 2 things.
Last one for me, Andy, and we're going to get close to the time of year where people are going to be writing in and venting to you about players that are not, usually was mainly Atlanta Falcon players. I might have done that to you once or twice, but I'm a little concerned what we saw last week in Detroit. Maybe it was just a bad week, but seeing how banged up Tampa's defense was, and what would be your advice right now to any owner that has Sam Laporta?
Well, Tampa still has some vets who are really good players, and they can still heat up your quarterback a little bit. So, Sam definitely got involved as a blocker last week a little bit, not even so much in passing situations, but they really lean on him as a run blocker, especially near the goal line. I do think it's possible that, it's not just the Jameson Williams emergence, But also, Jahmyr Gibbs, and we're only 2 weeks in, so who knows where this is going to go. But right now, if you take the on-pace numbers for Jahmyr Gibbs, he's on pace for like 93 receptions. So he operates in an area of the field where Sam Laporta also operates. So that's a real threat to Sam's targets. I tend to think that Sam is going to settle into being as a fantasy commodity, as sort of a George Kittle-like player, where he ends up having like three or four big weeks that make his season seem like it was, you know, that put him into the top five comfortably at the position, that make his season seem okay. But the weekly floor for him is not what it was last year, perhaps. The weekly floor is probably like three catches for 30 yards, which doesn't do anything for you in fantasy. Man, tight end has been such a bust this year. There are only 8 receiving touchdowns total by tight ends this year. And like it's a bunch of guys that nobody's starting too. It's Foster Moreau, it's Elijah Higgins, it's Darnell Washington, it's guys that nobody's playing.
Andy, the late afternoon window, and Gene referenced the Detroit and Arizona game. I mean, that feels like a game that should be a fantasy bonanza with lots of offense and lots of scoring, you would hope. There's a couple of other really good games. You know, it's a war of attrition in with the Niners and the Rams, and I'm curious as to how you're proceeding with your Rams wide receivers now with Kupp and with Puka Nacua both being gone. And do you see anybody elevating their game and taking control and having that kind of production that we've seen out? I mean, you know, that's a high bar to clear, so I'm sure they won't reach Nacua or Kupp standards. But what about that game, and what about the Ravens and the Cowboys as well? It feels like we could have a fantasy bonanza in the late afternoon window on Sunday.
Yeah, the Rams are tough, and that's especially in a non-bye week like this. I just kind of went off that ride because there's nobody else there resembles Cooper Kupp or Puka Nacua, as you say. I don't think anybody steps into that volume or can do those things. DeMarcus Robinson is probably the best of the guys that you can start as a wide receiver 3 if you have to pick somebody up. But overall, especially against the Niners, I just don't like. I think the ceiling for the offense is so low. I'm just not interested in that right now. Until they can get Kupp back or Nacua back, it's going to be like those are really significant headwinds. The Baltimore-Dallas game is crazy because it feels like a must-win for both teams. And Dallas is only like 1-1. It's not really a must-win for them. But, man, I correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Baltimore's got Buffalo after this one.
Correct.
Right? So you can't be 0-3 and then facing the Bills. It gets late early in the NFL. That is a crazy situation that Baltimore is all of a sudden in. And 100% of it for Baltimore is about the defense. You know, they were an absolute elite, fabulous defense last year. And now last year's defensive coaching staff is just scattered all over the NFL, right? They all leveled up. They all got new jobs. Patrick Queen is gone. So like they were holding opponents to about 16 points a game last year, and they're giving up about 26.5 this year. And it's made all the difference. All the offensive weapons are still, they're fine. Like Lamar's having a fine season. It's not perfect, but it's fine for fantasy. Mark Andrews made a little noise last week after a quiet week one. You know, Derrick Henry's been fine. Everybody's fine, but the defense can't stop anybody.
Make Andy Behrens and the show on Yahoo a part of your Sunday morning routine. Andy, tell everybody about it.
Oh, yeah, really appreciate you guys. Fantasy Football Live. We are an hour before kickoff. On Sundays, join us. We'll have all the late-breaking injury information, actives, inactives, and we'll give you all the fantasy spin.
Enjoy the weekend, Andy. Good luck.
Thanks, guys. Good luck to everybody.
You got
Thanks,
it. Andy Behrens, Yahoo Fantasy. Always good with his time to join us on a Friday and help us set our Week 3 lineup here en route to a championship, a fantasy championship for you and your squad.
Yeah, McDermott. I'm going to make my pick later on, but if you've listened to our experts and everything, not just from a fantasy standpoint, I think the Bills will kind of be able to move the ball here against Jacksonville coming up Monday night.
Yeah, Jacksonville does feel like they're in disarray. It feels like there's zero buy-in offensively, and nobody really knows who's calling the shots.
Right, and when you have the who's calling the plays for their offense, and to hear Andy say that was just not a good game last week and they're playing Cleveland. Well, Cleveland was a playoff team last year, I get it, but it's good. Good Monday night here for Buffalo coming up.
All right, we'll get to that and more next here in the sports bar. Going to take a break and come back, and we'll be joined also in the 4 o'clock hour by Thor Nystrom, Fantasy Life. We'll talk not just college football, but his Minnesota Vikings there, Thor base just outside of Minneapolis with a 2-0 start. Who could have predicted it? Oh, that's right, me. We'll talk to Thor Nystrom as to why Sam Darnold and Minnesota and Minnesota are actually off to a better than anticipated start. That's coming up along with Happy Hour and plenty of time for your calls. Feel free to pull up a stool here in the Sports Bar at 866-4FAN, 585-866-4326. In fact, right now, let's give you a free pair of tickets to see Tom Segura, who's coming to KeyBank Center on September 27th. Be caller 5 at 866-4326, 866-4FAN. That's courtesy of Live Nation. Tom Segura, KeyBank Center. A free pair of tickets are yours right now if you're caller 5. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.